This is the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Sitting in for Dr. Mohler today, Russell Moore. Dr. Moore is Dean of the School of Theology at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. Now, here's your host for today, Dr. Russell Moore.
So I was watching the State of the Union last night, and I had my 8-year-old son Benjamin there on the couch next to me, and he shouldn't have been up that late, but he was still awake, and we're sitting there watching President Obama speaking to the nation, the State of the Union, and he said, "Wait a minute, why is Barack Obama still here? I thought Scott Brown won." And I had to say, well, Scott Brown won a Senate race, but he's not the president. President Obama is still the president. He's going to be the president until at least January of 2013 and maybe until January of 2017. And Benjamin said to me, but isn't he bad? Isn't he bad? Isn't he one of the bad guys? Well, I mean, what he's asking me is, who are the good guys here in the room and who are the bad guys here in the room? Just like we're watching some type of a movie and you want to identify who the villains are and who the heroes are. And he knows that I'm really troubled by President Obama's policies toward the civil rights of unborn Americans, for instance, and some other things. And so he wanted me to really kind of rip into Barack Obama. Well, if he's a villain, if he's an enemy, then we ought to talk about it that way. And it was really difficult for me because on the one hand, I want my son to understand that there are some things that really matter, like, for instance, the right to life of unborn human beings. On the other hand, it's really important to teach him to honor authority and to honor the authority of the President of the United States. And my question to you is that hard for us to do? Is it hard for you to do? Maybe you're a fan of President Obama, and you faced this when President Bush was president. Or maybe right now you're someone who's sitting there listening to Barack Obama addressing the nation, and you're sitting there thinking, I can't believe that you are President of the United States with the kind of policies you have. How do you simultaneously oppose some of the president's policies without becoming dishonorable or disrespecting authority, legitimate authority? And the scripture tells us in 1 Peter chapter 2 to honor everyone, fear God, love the brotherhood, honor the emperor. President Obama is not the emperor, but the principle is certainly there in scripture that those who are ruling over us, those who are put into places of authority, there is a criticism. In scripture, we've got legitimate and ongoing examples of criticizing government officials. Jesus did not shrink back from criticizing Herod, and neither did John the Baptist. But on the other hand, the scripture says all of the authorities are put there by God, and the way that we respond to authority shows us something about the way that we recognize the legitimacy of the authorities that God has put into place. So how do you communicate that to a new generation? And I'm not just speaking about kids. I'm speaking about the next generation of Christians. How do we kind of walk that middle line between acquiescing to everything that our government officials do? We're not going to do that. But to do it in a way that also honors and recognizes legitimate authority. Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. How do you maintain that balance? And how do you maintain that posture of civility even when you disagree? And what do you think that there is to learn from that about how we ought to be engaging with people in our society right now with whom we disagree? 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Maybe there are some of you who have some specific examples of how you've done this with your kids or how you've talked to people in your office or in other places where you have to say, yeah, I disagree with, maybe it might not be President Obama. It might be your boss. It might be your supervisor there in the factory. But how do you disagree while at the same time maintaining that honor? And do you think Christians are doing a good job? Are we as the people of Christ doing a good job in maintaining that kind of honor? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. And let's think this through. Maybe you think we're being too respectful to the President of the United States. Okay. Be glad to hear from you on that. 877-893-8255. And I'd love to hear from you. Do we love Barack Obama enough? 877-893-TALK. But first, a few items from the news. Big issue in the news today is, of course, the aftermath of President Obama's State of the Union speech that he gave to both houses of Congress, to the Supreme Court, to the cabinet, and by television to the rest of the country. And President Obama addressed a little bit about the kind of polarization that we see right now in American society. This is what he said.
And what the American people hope, what they deserve, is for all of us, Democrats and Republicans, to work through our differences, to overcome the numbing weight of our politics. For while the people who sent us here have different backgrounds, different stories, different beliefs, the anxieties they face are the same. The aspirations they hold are shared. A job that pays the bills, a chance to get ahead, most of all, the ability to give their children a better life.
And President Obama then went on to talk about the fact that there's a kind of a disenchantment in the country, which he seems to identify not just with his critics on the right, but all around in the country. This is what he had to say.
But each time a CEO rewards himself for failure, or a banker puts the rest of us at risk for his own selfish gain, people's doubts grow. Each time lobbyists game the system or politicians tear each other down instead of lifting this country up, we lose faith. The more that TV pundits reduce serious debates to silly arguments, big issues into sound bites, our citizens turn away. No wonder there's so much cynicism out there. No wonder there's so much disappointment.
President Obama says that this is an issue that has to be addressed with exactly what he campaigned on, which he says is change. And President Obama seemed to be explaining why it is that he can be simultaneously the change agent without a lot of things actually being changed. This is what he had to say.
I campaigned on the promise of change. Change we can believe in, the slogan went. And right now I know there are many Americans who aren't sure if they still believe we can change or that I can deliver it. But remember this, I never suggested the change would be easy or that I could do it alone. Democracy in a nation of 300 million people can be noisy and messy and complicated. And when you try to do big things and make big changes, it stirs passions and controversy. That's just how it is. And what keeps me going is that despite all these setbacks, that spirit of determination and optimism, that fundamental decency that has always been at the core of the American people, that lives on.
Now, you might think that as President Obama is calling everybody to unity and calling everybody to change and calling everybody to get over the cynicism and disenchantment, that this was kind of a kumbaya moment in the United States Capitol. But it wasn't, because he was taking some pretty sharp partisan attacks himself, including some remarks about his predecessor, President George W. Bush. Listen to this.
So let me start the discussion of government spending by setting the record straight. At the beginning of the last decade, the year 2000, America had a budget surplus of over $200 billion. By the time I took office, we had a one-year deficit of over $1 trillion and projected deficits of $8 trillion over the next decade. Most of this was the result of not paying for two wars, two tax cuts, and an expensive prescription drug program. On top of that, the effects of the recession put a $3 trillion hole in our budget. All this was before I walked in the door.
Now, nobody screamed out, "You lie," last night in the United States Capitol, but maybe some of you were yelling that from your homes. And maybe a lot of you who, as you look at your political leaders or others around you are just really angry and frustrated by that, and maybe for some very legitimate reasons. My question to you is, how can we, as followers of Jesus, do what the Scripture says, pray for those who are kings and are in any position of authority? How can we honor those who rule over us and at the same time be people of conviction? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. If you had to explain to my 8-year-old son how he can honor President Obama without becoming an Obama enthusiast, then what would you say? Help me out here. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
Was a bad place to be. It was back before Nixon lied to us all on TV. Before microwave ovens, when a girl could still cook and still would. The best of free life behind us now. The good time's really over for good.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and we're talking today about the fact that a lot of people, especially conservative Christian people, are really disenchanted with government, maybe particularly disenchanted with President Obama. And my question to you is, how do we maintain both a prophetic, convictional stance on the issues that matter, things like the right to life for unborn children, and at the same time honor and respect the office of the President of the United States and every other legitimate authority? How can you do that? How can you criticize without being disrespectful? And maybe some of you have learned that in your own lives. Maybe some of you are facing this right now. Maybe not even so much at the high levels of the presidency, but maybe in your own household. Maybe there's some of you right now who are saying, look, I've got non-Christian parents, and I'm having to learn how to respect the authority of my parents while at the same time recognizing that a lot of things they do are wrong. Let us know how you do it. Well, what are some ways that you think that through? Give me a call at 877-893-8255. Maybe others of you who are in a workplace where you've had to learn to respect legitimate authority without at the same time giving up your convictions, 877-893-8255. And maybe some of you are in the same kind of situation that I'm in. You're sitting there with your children, and you're trying on the one hand to critique some of the things that the President of the United States is trying to do, while at the same time not teaching your children to be disrespectful. There are all kinds of people that I have heard who, I remember one time we had the television on, and it was during the primaries, and there was some comedian who made a joke about Hillary Clinton on a broom as a witch. And this was on the television, and I didn't really think anything of it. Time went on. And one of my children was in Sunday school or somewhere, and someone made a mention of the witch of Endor in Scripture, and he said, like Hillary Clinton. And, you know, so the teachers and everyone around is thinking that this is coming from at home, or teaching him to say really kind of sarcastic, snarky things about Hillary Clinton. Well, what in the world, how do you navigate that when it comes to teaching a next generation how to honor authority without losing your spine, especially when American culture seems to really value expressing anger? I have with me on the line right now Dr. Peter W. Wood, who is president of the National Association of Scholars. He has served on the faculty of the King's College in New York and at Boston University on the faculty there, has a PhD in anthropology. And one of the things that I've really been fascinated with in recent years is a book that Professor Wood wrote called A Bee in the Mouth, Anger in America Now, by Encounter Books in 2007. And so I really wanted to pick his brain about what anger looks like from his perspective right now in America and how we ought to think about it. Professor Wood, welcome to the Albert Mueller Program.
Thank you for having me, Dr. Moore.
When you look around the country right now, do you see the same kind of phenomenon of expression of anger that you saw when you wrote your book a couple years ago?
Well, I think it's a little bit different. When I wrote the book, President Bush was in office, and he had brought out of on the political left a particularly aggressive expression of this thing I call new anger, a very expressive style of anger of making your personal authenticity depend on your ability to say nasty things and perform in public, that sort of thing. We're not over that by any means, but President Obama models a different kind of emotionality, a kind of aloofness and calmness. It's an interesting take on anger. One doesn't sense that he is inwardly all that calm, but his demeanor pushes against the tide of let-it-all-hang-out anger. Now, the State of the Union speech last night seemed to be perhaps a indication that he's going to move in a different direction. Considerably more harsh and aggressive towards his opponents, the Supreme Court, towards the Republicans in general. So, yes, I wonder if we're about to enter into a new stage of his presidency.
Well, don't you think, though, President Obama, yes, seems to be kind of aloof and often above it all in some ways. But think about Keith Olbermann. For instance, and the Huffington Post, and on the right and the left, there seems to be kind of a ratcheting up of the theatrical kind of anger that you talked about in your book.
Yes, well, if you take it out of the Oval Office and into the mass media, clearly the media love anger. It's a kind of performance in itself, and we have now garnered a collection of talking heads on the left and the right whose specialty is in exhibiting postures and phrases of extreme distaste for the people they disagree with. In answer to your question before I came on about what do parents do, what to do with this in your life, certainly there's a task that's laid down before us as citizens, as Christians, as people concerned about the welfare of our own children to create a wall around this sort of stuff, to make it appear that dissent into cheap sarcasm is demeaning for the person who does it more than for the person it's aimed against. That's a hard task. We're riding against the tide of popular culture, but Christians always have been doing that. And the particular task faced by us at this moment in history.
So what would you say to parents who are saying, you know, I don't want my children to grow up to be sheep, you know, who don't, and I mean that not in a good biblical sense, but who are simply following the dictates of their leaders. I want them to be critical. I just don't want them to be mean. What kinds of things would you suggest to parents to do to inculcate that?
I think from an earliest age, you have to begin to show children how to make a distinction between a person's behavior and the position that person occupies. Learning to respect a position like the presidency of the United States or a senatorship or a pastor of a church, for that matter, the position is different from the person. And no person ever fully lives up to everything that is godly in a position or socially prescribed as the right thing to do. There's always that falling short. It's very easy for children to get that distinction if you point it out to them. Tendency to merge person and office into one thing is a kind of demagogy that we have to guard against, but it is teachable. We can work our way out of it.
Once
you begin to draw that.
Thank you very much, Peter Wood. What do you think? How should we communicate conviction without being angry and dishonorable and disrespectful toward those who are in authority? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. My son wonders if Barack Obama is a bad guy. What would you have me tell him? 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mueller, and this is the Albert Mueller Program.
listening to the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get on the line, call toll-free 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Or go to www.albertmohler.com and email your questions and comments. Here again is your guest host, Dr. Russell Moore.
Apparently we just had a caller call in that was revved up mad, ready to let me have it, but couldn't stay on the line. Maybe you're mad. Give me a call, 877-893-8255, and let's talk about how evangelical Christians can have conviction without being disrespectful toward legitimate authority, including the President of the United States. Got lots of calls. Calls are lighting up, but before we get to those calls, I have on the line Dr. Oz Guinness, who is senior fellow with the East-West Institute in New York, and he's the author of a book called The Case for Civility and Why Our Future Depends Upon It. Dr. Guinness, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm sorry I haven't heard all that you've had on so far.
Well, I'd love to know, Dr. Guinness, how you think that Christians can disagree with people in authority, such as the President of the United States, on some really important issues without dishonoring the office of the president or the person who occupies that office. How should we maintain that balance?
Well, we've got to think this through first as Christians and then as American citizens and keep those separate for a moment because mm-hmm. we have a deeper motive than the rest of the citizenry. I mean, in the New Testament, we're called to speak the truth with love. And you can see many Christians today just abandoned any form of love or respect. And one of the toughest things our Lord says is we forgive without limits and we love even our enemies. And the great evangelical politicians, say Wilberforce, mm-hmm. that man was the most vilified man in the world at one stage. He always loved his enemies in the, you know, the anti-slavery campaign and really looked after them. And so for Christian reasons first, we've got to ask if we're following the way of Jesus. The trouble is, so many American evangelicals are more ideological than they are Christian. So that's the first and basic issue. We're disciples and followers of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I challenge the people who are getting mad. Are they really reading their New Testament and behaving in a way that honors our Lord and Master, Jesus?
How would you... Go ahead, Dr. Guinness.
No, you go ahead.
I was just wondering, how can we, at the same time, be people who aren't just simply passively accepting things that we disagree with? How can you do that, have that prophetic sense of speaking truth to power while still maintaining respect and honor?
Well, that raises the question of citizenry. Civility is the oil by which we negotiate differences in free societies that have immensely different opinions.
Mm-hmm.
Now, our present problem isn't just diversity. America is bitterly polarized in a very dangerous way. You remember in the Tea Party, Russell, when the protester went with a gun on his hip
mm-hmm.
and he had the placard, "It's time to refresh the Tree of Liberty," mm-hmm. which we all know is the coded reference to the full Jefferson quotation about the blood of tyrants.
Mm-hmm.
Now, American civility, and that was at a town hall meeting, which Tocqueville pointed out, was the seedbed of American democracy. In other words, in a good democracy, and America's failing badly at the moment, in a good democracy, you respect people's rights to believe what they believe, but each person has to argue persuasively, respecting their rights to believe it, and then disagreeing with them powerfully, peacefully, but persuasively. That's the key thing.
Mm-hmm.
Evangelicals have abandoned that, and sadly, we've become a part of the bitterness. And you know the things like the email about Obama as the Antichrist and so on
mm-hmm.
floating around.
Yeah.
This stuff is a disgrace on the gospel. And we need to call a stop to this. And I would say if pastors or leaders are listening, it's time for those who have a lead in the church to say we've got to follow the way of Jesus in this bitterly polarized climate and show a different way. America is in trouble if this continues.
All right.
Both sides are responsible.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Oz Guinness. Appreciate that word to us. And I wonder, do you agree? How do you think that we can, at the same time, speak the truth and speak about issues that really matter, have life or death consequences, while at the same time doing exactly what 1 Peter 2 tells us we must do, honor everyone, including the emperor? It's a very bad emperor. when Peter is writing to the churches under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he says, honor, give honor. How do you disagree and give honor? And how do you teach the next generation how to not be compliant with every wind of policy or doctrine, at the same time being respectful, love-filled, grace-filled people? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Give me some parenting advice. How do I teach my kids to abhor what President Obama is doing in saying that unborn persons don't have the right to life, while at the same time loving him, praying for him, and respecting him? 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
I saw above me that endless skyway, saw below me that golden valley. This land was made for you and me.
Woody Guthrie was a commie, but he could write some pretty good songs. And we're going to be talking about today how in the world you can, on the one hand, honor someone, especially somebody in authority, President of the United States, while at the same time disagreeing. And how do we teach the next generation how to do that? This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. This is the Albert Mohler Program. Do you think that we're not communicating to our children and to new Christians how to show honor to those to whom honor is due, as the Scripture commands us to do? But how do you do that without simply becoming sheep-like people who are following every shepherd, not the one that we've been called to follow? Give me a call, 877-893-8255. 877-893-TALK. How should we train up kids and spiritual children, those new in the faith, how to distinguish between being a prophetic witness without being mean? 877-893-8255. We have Lawrence on the line. Lawrence, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Thank you very much. How are you this evening?
I'm doing well. What's your thought?
Good. My thought on this is I do not respect the man. He's lost my respect.
Okay.
And I cannot trust him. I cannot trust somebody I cannot respect.
You're speaking of President Obama?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
That's plain and simple.
Okay. So how do you then apply passages of Scripture that tell you to pray for kings and those who are in authority and to honor those who are in positions of authority over you?
You know the Bible better than I do, and I could have swore somewhere in there I have read that we're supposed to do exactly as you say until that person turns away from what God teaches.
Hmm.
And there's two major things that he and I are up against, and that one is same-sex marriage, and the other one is, of course, abortion. So
yeah.
That's why I cannot honor him and respect him.
Yeah, the problem is though, Lawrence, that the emperor who was in charge when Peter is writing to the churches was also pro-abortion and pro-infanticide and pro-persecution of Christians. And he says, still honor the emperor. And so I would encourage you to stay there where you are with conviction on the issues. But I do think that the Scripture is calling us to, at the same time, pray for all of those who are in authority. Romans 13, the emperor who has the sword, the state with the power of the sword, these are pagan, completely unbelieving and hostile authorities. And Paul nonetheless says the sword's been given to those authorities by God. There's a limit to that. We see that in Revelation chapter 13, when the legitimate state turns into the beast state by killing and persecuting Christians, not allowing Christians to live out the life of the church. But I think we're far from that now. The question is, how do we pray and do exactly what Paul says when, I mean, no one can say, well, the emperor in Romans 13 and 1 Peter 2 was a godly Christian person. That's not it. That's exactly the opposite, is to pray for people you don't agree with and to love people that you disagree with and to show that honor, not because the person is deserving of the honor, but because that person has been put into a position by God. What do you think? How should we do this? How should we teach and train the next generation to give honor while at the same time standing firm on the truths of Scripture? We have Leanne on the line. Leanne, welcome to the program.
Hi. I think that while we can honor the position that Barack Obama is in, unfortunately his decisions that he's making are wrong.
Yeah.
And what you could do is sit your son down and say, look, this is the decisions Barack is making, and this is the world's way. show them the Bible and say, this is God's way, this is God's word, because ultimately we need to keep our loyalties to God and his word.
Yeah.
And say, well, you will probably choose the right way, God's way. Do not judge Barack Obama.
Yeah.
Because that is Christ's role. We should pray for Barack Obama, and moreover than that, pray for the poor souls that he is hurting with his decisions.
Mm-hmm.
That God would have mercy on them.
Mm-hmm.
Well.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Leanne. What do you think? How should we communicate in the family room with kids and in congregations with people who are looking to leaders, church leaders and pastors and others for direction on how to even think about leaders, not just political leaders, not just the president of the United States, but that really, really awful guy that is your supervisor at the company. That you think this guy is a stupid idiot. I can't believe that he has worked his way up to being the national distributor of the widgets here, and I can't stand the way that he comes in and screams and curses at us all. How do I, nonetheless, Ephesians chapter 6, submit to his authority and honor that authority while at the same time saying, man, I just completely disagree with this guy. Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. We have Jim on the line. Jim, what do you think about this?
Well, I really think we need to get to the point where we are teaching people to debate the facts
mm-hmm.
without arguing. It seems as though our whole society is based on whoever screams the loudest and is as boisterous as the one that's going to win.
Mm-hmm.
We don't debate anymore. If you debate the facts, the truth will rise to the top.
Now, what's the difference, do you think, between arguing and debating? You think it's the personal element?
First of all, you have to give people the facts. They have to know the facts. And especially with young kids who are watching adults who don't know how to debate and are strictly arguing on emotion, they have to have the facts, and they have to be able to debate those facts based on God's word.
I see.
And the truth will come to the top.
All right. Thanks, Jim, for that. We have O'Reill, who is calling from Orlando, Florida. Welcome to the program. What do you think?
I just want to say I disagree with radio talk hosts who bash the president all the time and call themselves Christians.
Okay.
So, there's a certain one that I know every day, and that's all he do is get on the radio, and then sometimes say, well, I'm a Christian. You know, if you are a Christian, like the Bible said, honor the authorities.
Yeah.
Have respect for them.
Okay. Thanks, O'Reill. We have Brandon on the line calling from Farmington, New Mexico. Brandon, real quick, what do you think we ought to do?
Well, I think we should have the same thought that David did, that we should submit completely to the authority that God put in the people who are in charge over us, because David was the next anointed king, and yet he still decided to put his trust completely in what God had in store for Saul, because he says that no matter what, I'm not going to touch God's anointed, because that's who God put in charge over us at this time.
Okay, and David clearly disagreed with Saul and said so, but nonetheless, he understood and had a respect for the authority that was there. Thanks, Brandon, for that. How do you honor the authority of a president or a boss or supervisor or anyone in your life, husband, father, that you disagree with without dishonoring the person or the office? This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. This is the Albert Mohler Program. Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. That was the first music video I ever saw in probably 1985 or something like that. I wasn't supposed to be seeing it over at some friend's house, and they had MTV, which was a new thing at the time, and it expressed some of the rage of some really spoiled, rotten kids toward their parents. But there are a lot of people who are expressing the same kind of rage toward their government right now, and sometimes with some legitimate reasons. I think as Christians, one of the things we need to keep in mind is that the scripture calls all of us to honor the king whoever the king is, whoever the ruler is, whatever the position of authority is. Scripture also calls us as those who will be held accountable, as those within a democratic republic, for the making of the laws and for the setting up of those authorities in this kind of a system. And so that means there has to be a balance of understanding and knowing there is no ruler who is above criticism. There is no authority who is God other than God, who is then exempt from critical examination and from debate. But at the same time, seeing ourselves, what we're teaching to our children when we teach them how to speak about legitimate authorities, even authorities we disagree with, maybe even especially authorities we disagree with, teaches them a lot about how we view authority itself. That means we can do simple things. Teach our kids about where we disagree with President Obama, but call him President Obama, not Obama, not Barack, not that idiot in the White House or whatever it is that you call him. Honor the position even as you criticize the president, and then teach the people within your household or within your community group or within your Bible study or within your church how to, even as you disagree with some particular leader, to pray for him, to pray for her. And I don't mean, Lord, just pray for her that you would spare us from all of the bad decisions that are being made in the White House. I mean, God, would you please bless President Obama and Mrs. Obama? Would you please give him wisdom? Would you give him discernment? And would you also change his heart and change his mind on this issue, on compassion for the unborn, for instance? God says he can change a king's heart like he changes the courses of the water. That means we're praying, but we're praying not as angry, disgruntled people who have an agenda, except for the agenda of the kingdom. We're praying saying, God, we really hope that in the morning President Obama stands up and says, hey, I was wrong about the unborn, and we'd clap and cheer and love him for it. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. This is the Albert Mohler Program.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmohler.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmohler.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.